You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
13 years later, the ethnic tensions that led to the genocide of Tutsis in Rwanda still exist. And recently, it's led to fighting in the eastern part of Congo. General Laurent Nkunda, a Tutsi and former general in the Congolese army, says he's protecting Congolese Tutsis from Hutus who moved to Congo after participating in the genocide. But Congolese forces have also been fighting with General Nkunda because they say he's destabilizing their country. Joining me now to discuss the situation on the first part of today's Underreported are David Mounier, Central Africa Project Director at the International Crisis Group, and he joins us from Nairobi. Also, Arno Zeitman, a journalist based in Kinshasa who reports mainly for the BBC, and I'm very pleased to welcome them both to the show. Hello.
Hello there.
And Arno, many people blame the Belgians for creating these ethnic tensions in Rwanda and Congo. Is that something you think about when you're in Brussels, as you are right now?
Well, what's for sure is that Belgium has played a role, particularly in fixing the division in the Rwandan society, because up to 1932 in Rwanda, if you had less than 15 cows, you were a Hutus. If you had more than 15 cows, you then became a Tutsi. But then the Belgians came and decided that those classification should be transformed into an ethnic classification and has stopped people from being able to move from one group to the other.
Now, tell me about the current situation in Congo. Isn't there an uneasy truce? This is in eastern Congo, which is the area that borders on Rwanda.
Yeah, I'm just back from there. And yes, what's for sure is that it's a problem which is not solved yet. Congo, as you said in your introduction, Congo is trying to exist as an organized state and is trying to have a proper army. But it is so far not anywhere near achieving this.
Go ahead.
Therefore, you have people who just think that they need to protect their own lives and they don't trust the poorly organized Congolese army, so they have decided to take up arms. However, this is also jeopardizing any attempt to build that state because you still have rebel groups in arms in eastern Congo as a result.
The Hutu fighters call themselves the Democratic Forces for the Liberation of Rwanda. David, are they trying to liberate Rwanda by fighting in eastern Congo?
Well, they still want to. The objective is to open a political dialogue with the government in Kigali, and that's what their stated objective. They don't have the capacity to really threaten the Rwandese territory right now, but they want to force the international community to put this on the agenda. And of course, this is difficult to accept because most of these people, especially in the leadership, have been involved in the genocide, and many of them are searched by the international tribunal, who is in charge of prosecuting those involved in the genocide.
Has the Rwandan government done anything to deal with these extremists who are just across the border?
Well, they have been in the past supporting Laurent Nkunda's troops, and they have some. They have evidence, as President Kagame said it recently. They understand the reason why Nkunda is fighting. They understand his grievances and the grievances of the Tutsi community in North Kivu. Right now, they have abstained from interfering too much in the crisis, which is a good sign. Definitely, the FDLR cannot be dealt militarily only. You know, I mentioned that the leadership was involved in the, probably some of the key leaders have been involved in the genocide, but the rank and file of the FDLR are composed of people who were very young and have not been involved directly with the genocide. They've been involved in violence in Congo. And so we have to distinguish between in this group and probably try to work with Rwanda and the Congolese authorities to devise some incentives and disincentives incentives for those who have not been involved in the genocide to go back to Congo, to this, to go back to Rwanda and to disarm, as many have done since the beginning of the year 2000. And you have also to prosecute and fight, arrest those who have been involved in the genocide.
Well, how many people are there in the FDLR? Are we talking about a really impressive force here?
Well, it's difficult, but yes, there are some estimates of 6,000 people.
So that's fairly large. Arno, have the Congolese governments of Laurent Kabila and now his son, President Joseph Kabila, given the Hutu sanctuary?
In the past, yes, for sure. Yeah. In the past, you know, if you remember back in 98, the Rwandan army invaded Eastern Congo, and this has created some shifts of alliances, and Congo, Laurent Kabila was then the leader. He didn't have proper soldiers in the east, so there, he had the thousands of Hutu rebels were happened to be there and were, of course, ended up being good allies for him. So, yes, he supported them. But since then, Joseph Kabila, his son, who is now the elected president, has understood that and has agreed that those men are not to be supported, that they represent an illegal armed group, and that if he wanted to have a good relationship with his neighbors, such as Rwanda and Uganda, he should not support them. And indeed, there is no evidence of the Congolese government trying to support the Hutu rebels, and I don't think they do. However, I saw some new developments, including the recent creation of a new militia group, another one in eastern Congo, made up of mainly Congolese Hutus. And they say, the Tutsis, the men of Laurent Kunda, they're attacking us, they're raping people, they're raping women in the villages, which is true. They are looting, which is true. And so they have decided to organize themselves as well, and they seem to have ties with the Hutu rebels. So it is a bit of a catch-22, of a vicious circle. As long as you don't have a properly organized army in the Congo, you would still have armed group. And when you have one armed group operating in eastern Congo, that creates that leads to the creation of other armed groups, and that prevents the Congolese state and the Congolese army from doing the job.
So make this clear. We have Hutus and Tutsis from Rwanda who have crossed the border and are now engaged in armed combat for one reason or another. And then we have Congolese Hutus and Tutsis who are also getting involved in this.
That's about it. I mean, when we talk about the Tutsis, we're talking mainly about Congolese Tutsis nowadays.
And so Laurent Nkunda is a Congolese-born Tutsi?
He is indeed. However, you should remember that back in 1990, when the problem started in Rwanda, before the genocide, there was a civil war in Rwanda, and the Tutsis, who had been chased away decades ago, tried to come back, and there was this civil war, and the many Congolese Tutsis joined the ranks. They crossed the border and joined the ranks of the Rwandan Tutsis who were trying to take power in Rwanda. And therefore, this has also created some antagonism within the Congolese society, where people from other groups did not understand why their Tutsi colleagues were leaving and joining the forces that were to take power in Rwanda much later. So you have a lot of antagonism. But I think the main one also has to do with the fact that the Belgians did move people in the region, large groups, large communities were moved for economic purpose. And therefore, you had lots of Tutsis who were moved back in the 19th century, back in the early 20th century. And in a Congolese society where people often refer, this is not America, this is a country where people refer to their own roots, to their ancestors, they believe that the land ownership has to do with where your ancestors were born. And when you create, the attempt now is to try and create a modern state there to tell people, well, if you are born there, you don't have anywhere to go. You are Congolese, but it's difficult for people who are not from that culture, who have not been from that culture in recent decades, to accept that. And it becomes particularly difficult when they see that those who arrived later, the Tutsis, leave the Congo, join the force of a Rwandan, mainly Tutsi, rebel group, and then come back and say, well, listen, yes, we helped our cousins, but we are still Congolese. And all this creates problems. And all this, unless the state is strong, unless the law is enforced, all this can lead to tensions. And also, if the right action is not being taken, lead to genocide or ethnic cleansing.
David, first of all, let me tell everyone who my guests are.
I can add something. Let me
reintroduce you, David, and then we will talk to you. My guests are David Mounier, who is Central Africa Project Director for the International Crisis Group, and Arno Zeitman, who is a journalist based in Kinshasa, Congo, who reports mainly for the BBC. David, you wanted to add something?
To complete what Arno said, after the war, after this Congolese Tutsi help the FDR taking power in Kigali, then they join with the Rwandese army again back in Congo during the 5-year war between 1998 and 2003, and they were most of the time in the leadership of the Congolese, the Rwandese-sponsored Congolese rebel movement, which took control of the eastern part of Congo. So this too had to the resentment, this too had to the mistrust between the local communities. And so this is why the situation is so tense right now, because there is such a deep mistrust, inter-community deep mistrust. And as we see the military build-up right now and this confrontation, this is only there to complicate things, because some people definitely doubt that the Congolese Tutsi are Congolese.
And then complicating this whole situation, there's a group called the Mai Mai, a mixture of warlords, traditional tribal leaders, village heads, and politically motivated resistance fighters who have kind of allied. They are fighting the Tutsis as well? They're fighting General Nkunda's forces? Or did they go back and forth according to whatever is most expedient at the time?
Well, they're very much in the mining business, first of all. So they are protecting mining assets, things they control for various sponsors. But they also, of course, they have been fighting at the time of Laurent Désiré Kabila. They've been fighting a lot as patriots against the Ugandese, Rwandese troops. And as I was saying before, many Tutsis were allied with the Rwandese and the Congolese and the Ugandese. And so now they keep seeing Laurent Nkunda and his troops as a sort of proxy for Rwanda in Congo. So they interfere, and they are now joining force. And as Arno was saying, there is a militia now called Pareco, which is mixing people called Mai Mai, but probably also some Rwandese elements who might be elements from the FDLR. And they are all targeting the groups of Nkunda.
Now, is Nkunda's, are Nkunda's forces effective? Tell us a bit more about him. He was a general in the Congolese military before he decided to take over this Tutsi army in Congo.
Yes, he was in the RCD Goma troops. He served in Kisangani. He was the military commander of the second military region at the time of the RCD, the rebel movement. And but he refused to join the Congolese army when the transitional period started in 2003, and all the commanders of the various groups had to go to Kinshasa. He refused to go, and starting putting forward some demands for sort of renegotiation of the peace agreement, more guarantees for his community, more security guarantees for mostly the Tutsi and the Hutus at the time, Congolese. And then he was involved in the fighting that erupted in Bukavu in 2004, in May. There was a sort of a high tension between the government forces in Kinshasa and anti-Digoma forces there, and violence started in the city, and some Tutsis were targeted, so he claimed that there was a genocide that was taking place in Bukavu, and he took some troops from Goma and tried to seize Bukavu, which he did, but under international pressure, he had to leave the place and retreat back near Goma.
Now, it sounds to me like it's hard to decide who to support in situations like this, because Nkunda seems to have some legitimate grievances. At the same time, his troops engage in war crimes and rapes. And the Hutus in these fights are all many of them were involved in the genocide in Rwanda. Is there any group that we could support, or do we have to get rid of everybody? How can we do that?
I think the what should be supported and the way forward of this crisis is to support the state. What's happening at the moment is that, yes, I mean, as you said, the concerns of the Tutsis are legitimate, but there is a constitution now in the Congo, there is an elected government, there is a genuine attempt to create a democracy. It's been sponsored by the UN, by the main Western powers, and you have institutions, and in those institutions, you have Tutsis, you have elected members of parliament, you have a few in the army, you have quite a number of Tutsi generals who've been appointed. So there is an attempt to create a nation. Now, this majority, these institutions should also guarantee the security of the minorities, including the minority which is the most, which faces danger, and which is the Tutsi community. But for that, you need a dialogue. You need those people who are in arms to be forced to lay down their arms. You need strong international pressure on Laurent Nkunda, on Rwanda, which has supported him in the past, and which is in a position, if they wanted, to probably to convince him to sit at a table, force the government, even though it's an elected government, to also sit at a table and see how the minorities can feel secured, what should be done, is there any special arrangement that should be organized so that they feel that their parents, that they feel that the sort of tension that exists does not build up and transform into massacres. And you need also to tell these people, look, there is a state. The aim of all these rebel groups was to create a democracy, they said in the past. This democracy now exists, though it's not perfect yet. Some journalists have been killed in recent months. The justice system is not properly not functioning yet. However, there is an attempt. That attempt, I think, should be supported. And these people should also be told that they can't keep on fighting, because this is not how you're going to build up a country the size of Western Europe in the middle of Africa.
We have to leave it there, unfortunately. But this is a story that we will continue to follow, because it could lead to a regional war, as the Rwandan president, Paul Kagame, has issued veiled threats that he might send his army into eastern Congo. My thanks to both of you, Arno Zeitman, who is based in Kinshasa, Congo, and reports mainly for the BBC, and David Mounier, Central Africa Project Director for the International Crisis Group.
Thank you.